All right, welcome to another edition, a Wednesday edition.
Wednesday!
Wednesday, horse racing happy hour, hump day! All right, we are here because of Thanksgiving, obviously, you know, because of the indigenous people who sacrifice.
What a start to the show.
Hi, Mike. Anyway, hi. Hello, Louis. Mike Indoffo, Louis Rabeau, and then we have a special guest, Danny Brewer, with us, and all three of us are newly inducted into the NTWAB, so... you know, congrats to all three of us.
You know? Yeah, it's pretty clear that you and I have done a lot more hard work than Danny to get in, and so you know, Danny kind of skating in on two decades of work, whatever.
Well, you know, I mean, but see, the whole thing is you've got these bright shining stars. See, I'm just kind of like this little dull 20 watt light bulb, and you guys are like these 100 waters. You know,
no, I agree whatever. That Mike is 100 water. I'm with you. I agree.
Danny's in scrubs because he's got a doctorate in just being an awesome horse person. So there it is. So
yeah. What do they call a horse doctor besides a veterinarian?
That's an equine veterinarian. No.
Yeah, maybe so.
Probably.
Maybe so.
Oh, I thought a terrible joke was coming. I'm let down.
No. I don't think so. Yeah. No, we still love animals here, Louie. I mean, you know. So
100 watt bulb, you
by 100, yes, the 100 watt bulb. I don't even have the show she pulled up. I'm just, yeah,
yes, back to our roots.
This is the roots of the show. It is,
by the way, I did just do a shot of whiskey in case you're wondering which one it was. It is our friends Cooper's Craft 100 proof hanging out with us. Last day of hanging out with us, as this is the last day of the Mike Gandolfo shows for 2022.
So, yeah, I take a little time off here, Danny. I don't, you know, so.
You shine so bright during the year that you have to take the time.
You know, you don't want to burn out. I mean, you're
100%.
Right?
100%. So, and then we may, in mid-show, Lou, you might get a Popeye of a friend of the show, Brian, just bring you down a special swig of something. So
okay.
He kind of hinted at it. So we'll see if that happens or not. Danny, what is your go-to cocktail choice? Are you a drinker at all?
Lately, it's been the lemon drop martini.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah, you know, I like it like extra sissy-fied with lots of sugar around the glass and bunches of lemon in it. So
are you
this
a
is what we get for having somebody from Tennessee on. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly it, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Last time we saw Danny was at Breeders' Cup, and Danny sat next to me. He's Tennessee's finest turf rider, and I had to pick Georgia to cover the 10-point spread against Tennessee right in front of him, and then the show finishes, and Danny goes, "I think you're probably right about that." And so,
and you were.
It's actually a good pick, yeah, right, yeah.
You know, it was, and the thing about it was Georgia's defense is so good, and you know they Tennessee's offense had no answers, and you know it's just one of those things where Tennessee's a program that's on the rise, but Georgia's a program that's already there.
Yep.
And then how deflated were they after the last weekend with the South Carolina game? I mean, what did like the whole state just like was
did
it like a moment of silence?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You've heard a lot of crickets chirping. You know, yeah. My oldest son, who's a Tennessee graduate, and he's actually a swim coach here at a local high school, local middle school.
Nice.
And I worked one of his swim meets last night for him, and he won't talk about it. He said it's too certain for me to talk about it.
I bet.
Okay, so there's a lot of people hurt. A lot of feelings got hurt in
it. As a Kentucky fan, it made me feel better to see you all lose to South Carolina because, I mean, Kentucky's had two awful losses. But I just never thought that Vandy would be the best football team in Tennessee in November. So,
there's a team that, and I don't think they're on the same plane, but there's a team that I cover quite a bit, Middle Tennessee State. And
they've
had a couple of games, too. So, you know, they got a chance to close out their season on a three-game winning streak. This week, they go to Florida International.
Oh. There it is. All right. Our friends at Western Kentucky University know all about Middle Tennessee.
Middle Tennessee knows about Western Kentucky. Yeah, that's I think they call that the 100 miles of hate rivalry because it's like 100 miles between Murfreesboro and Bowling Green.
Bowling Green, yeah.
100 miles of hate rivalry.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about – I know we only got you for a limited amount of time here, so let's get into it real quick. First off, Louis, you were out. Were you out at Great Church of Jones last weekend?
I was, yeah. I just – so, Danny, I'm sure you were watching on TV – Chalukie Saturday around here. I thought, you know, it's graded stakes are nice. I thought the big storyline was that the turf course played like a turf course.
Well, you know, that's what I was going to ask you guys about because the last time I was there was Arlington Million Day, and the turf course was not a turf course.
It was not a turf course.
They ran two races on it, but it was not in good shape. And that's why they only ran two turf races, was because it was not up to par whatsoever. So, hopefully we're going to, because I know there's a big turf race on Friday when I'll be there, and hopefully I'll see you two guys there too.
You will.
You'll see Louie, not me. I got family obligations, unfortunately.
Okay, so the wife said you can't go.
We're hosting.
Her family. Understand. So, yeah.
And if I wasn't there to cook, I'm really just
what you
hired
said,
help.
Daddy. Yeah, what you said.
I'm the hired help in that situation. And if I don't cook, then they're not going to have a meal.
Hopefully you're paid well. Hopefully.
We'll see.
He's not.
Oh my gosh. Oh my. I hope my wife is not listening.
She's not. All right.
Yeah.
But no. So Danny, for me, that's the takeaway. Sometimes, you know, even graded stakes Saturdays, when that was the only graded stakes in the country on that day, that wasn't the biggest race of the day. It was on that turf course because they got to be ready for Derby season, right? And so if you think about all of the really important races that happen on that turf course over Derby weekend and then going into that, into the spring there, that thing's got to be ready to go. And so I'm hopeful tomorrow the Mrs. Revere will go off without a hitch, or on Friday, excuse me, and that they'll be able to keep it going, because it actually acted like a turf course last week, which
good.
is good.
Because you're right. You know, because one of the biggest races, the Old Forester that they had, where you have the Bourbon Double going on there on Derby Day. And so, you know, the turf course is very important to Churchill. So hopefully it will get up to par and it's headed in the right direction. I'm feeling pretty confident about that.
Well, it's only took them a year to get it right. So we'll see what happens.
It's apparently a lot more difficult than we thought it was. So
I'm sure it is. I mean, yeah, I guarantee
growing grass is maybe not as easy as we think sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. So I know we only got at you for a couple minutes. I'm sure you've looked at it. The Clark Field, 7 horses. Doesn't really feel like a grade one to us. Probably more like a, I don't know, grade two minus. Big opportunity, frankly, for Rich Strike to perform well again at Churchill Downs, where he's been very good several times. Interesting piece over at Horse Racing Nation today that Rich Strike could make a case for 3-year-old of the year by winning this race. Do you think he has a serious shot, and do you buy any of that?
Well, wait, Lou, you can ask the question differently now because we all get a vote. So you could say, will he get your vote? Will Rich Strike get your vote if he wins the grade one Clark?
Do we get a vote in this year's Eclipse?
I think we do, yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. I thought that's the way I read it, yeah.
Okay, good. Because I sent my money in hoping that we would. Not that I'm trying to buy a vote or anything, but I think that the answer for me is no. Even if he wins, he won't get my vote. You know, I hate to be prejudiced against the horse, but he cost me a lot of money on Derby Day because I missed my pick six, my pick four, and the Bourbon Double because Rich Strike won the Kentucky Derby. I had those other two horses, Zandon and Epicenter. I had them all on all of those tickets, and so I would have, like, made a lot of money, and I didn't because of Rich Strike. As far as the storyline, fantastic. You know, yeah, I'm seeing it. Yeah, the storyline, fantastic, you know, great. All those non-horse people that just tune in to watch Kentucky Derby think, oh, man, that's the greatest race I've ever seen. But they don't really understand the ramifications of an 80-to-1 shot winning it and what it kind of – and it's good. It's good news, bad news. So, but I don't think that he's done enough. Otherwise, the Belmont, he didn't run well. The Breeders' Cup, he ran okay, you know. The Lucas Classic, he ran good there. Hot Rod Charlie got him at the wire.
Ran well in the Travers.
And then the Travers, he didn't. I don't think he necessarily ran that well, you know. So it's not like he's been knocking the door down, race in, race out. He's had he ran really good in the Kentucky Derby. Fantastic race. Don't want to take anything away from him. That was his day, but he really hasn't had a day since then, and really didn't have too many days before then, you know.
Right. One only thing I would disagree with, and actually I will say that he is. Proven me wrong where he's a much better horse than where I thought he was.
Sure.
But he only won the Derby because the Summer Is Tomorrow. If Summer Is Tomorrow is not in that Derby race, Rich Strike does not win the Derby. Summer Is Tomorrow sets that early pace, and just for the first time since the point system's been around, we had a rabbit. And if the rabbit's not there, I don't think Rich Strike's, it doesn't set up for the closer. So
I think you're right. You know, there's been that's happened. Palace Malice, he got out there a few years back and all that kind of stuff. But I think you're right. And also, if the things don't happen there late with the Lucas horse and he scratches out, he's not even there anyway.
He's not in the race, yeah.
So I just don't think that he's been a good enough 3-year-old to get my vote for 3-year-old of the year.
Louis, if it's not Rich Strike, who do you think? Oh, okay. What was my interesting take? Sorry.
Just about, you know, the, first off, we only have multiple great. There's only two
multiple grade one winners. One winners. Yeah. And the other and, one is Cyberknife.
Excuse and me. When you look at Rich Strike, you know, his are the Kentucky Derby and then actually beating older horses in the Clark.
Yeah.
You know, there, yep. That would be the argument. I would have to say it's not, he's not going to get my vote either. Just because I just don't look at this field like this is a grade one. Like I can't think that this is a grade one. And if this field was better and I could say, hey, this horse has been consistently improving and all that kind of stuff, maybe. But this field is not a grade one field. And actually, I kind of wonder how long the Clark is going to be able to hold on to their grade one status. But the history of it.
It's the funniest thing is because the Stephen Foster should be a grade one and this should be
absolutely.
A grade two. That's 100%. That's what they get wrong in the graded stakes committee is that the race in the summer is the better race. I understand though why they do it because and we talk about this too, Mike, it depends on time of year and conditions of races. Older dirt males going two turns for graded money like this. You got the Cigar Mile in a couple of weeks. That's one turn at Aqueduct, for example. Man, if horses ran in the Breeders' Cup and they want to turn back and run in the Clark, it's just not an easy turnaround, right? Especially if the race is out in California or something. And so a lot of years you just have that kind of thing. I'm pretty stunned they're running Rich Strike here because they really have preferred to give him more time. And this will be three races since October 10th. That's really unusual for him.
I think that the reason they're doing it is exactly what you just said. The opportunity, number one, he loves Churchill. I mean, he's two wins in a second. Beating the nose, you know, in three races there. So I think that they know he loves Churchill. And it's a chance for them to kind of put him up there, whether he runs next year or not. I mean, he may be running off to the breeding shed, and they're hoping if they can get that grade one, then he'll have two grade ones this year, and bam. So I think that they see this as an opportunity for him. But the Clark has been a springboard for a lot of horses. You know, Gunrunner came out of the Breeders' Cup a few years back. One of my favorites of all time, Shackleford, he didn't run well in the Dirt Mile. He came back. Right. You know, I talked to Brad Cox about, you mentioned Cyberknife. I talked to Brad Cox about Cyberknife. I thought this would be a great spot for him. He ran really good in the Dirt Mile, was beating a nose or maybe a head in the Dirt Mile. I thought, man, this would be great. He'd get another grade one. And then I think he's 3 year old of the year because of he won $2 million races already. So, and I think Brad kind of agreed with me on that, but the ownership does not. And they have the final say on where that horse runs. So I think he may go in the Pegasus. Brad says, I just hope I can get him to run in the Pegasus, you know. I thought it was a logical spot for Cyberknife and a great chance for him to put himself at the top of the three-year-old division. But
I'll tell you who's rooting for Rich Strike as much as anyone is Calumet because they've got Kenai standing there. It was $7,500 to breed to him when Rich Strike was born. And so I think, you know, if he could pull off a second grade one here and kind of back up that Derby thing. The other thing I think we need to stop doing is with these three-year-old votes, for example, it doesn't matter anymore that he won at 80-1 in the Derby. That shouldn't matter to any of us anymore. No. That needs to go away as a talking point. He won the damn Derby, period. Yeah. And the fact that the paramutual pool was laid out in a certain way, it doesn't matter. He won the damn race against 20 other horses, 19 other horses. And so that we got to get rid of. Coming back, running really well in the Lucas, chance to win the Clark. That speaks to me of a very, very good three-year-old season. I haven't made up my mind on the vote yet, but I think he's got a stronger case than
what if Zanin wins the Cigar Mile? And so that's Zanin's second grade one, and he's hit the board in every grade
and
one.
And that's against older horses, too. I agree with you. Yeah. And a really good win. I mean, really important horses have won the Cigar Mile. That is a serious.
It's a much better feel, too, of what they're looking at than what's at the Clark.
Right. The Clark, I think, is a very balanced field. I think it's a wide-open race. You could really make a case for all seven guys that have a chance. But is that because we got seven great horses or because we got seven mediocre horses? You know, I think that West Willpower is a good horse. He's just a late bloomer.
Yep.
So, you know, and Folsom, talking to Brad Cox, he had a good point about Folsom. He said, man, he's a very solid grade three horse, but he fits in well here. And this is his chance to get a grade one. And that's why they're running him here. Is because I think he's got a great opportunity to get a grade one.
All right. Well, Danny, we got 15 minutes out of you. We'll let you get back to what you got to do. We appreciate it.
Well, I just got before.
Yeah.
One thing from you guys. Okay. Who you like in the Clark? Give me somebody. Come on. I need to make some. I'm going to be there. I need to make some money. Give me some money. Come on.
I do think. I think Proxy's got a weird good shot here. Hasn't won at Churchill, but has run there twice. Has a 104 buyer there in the Stephen Foster over the summer. I think Michael Stidham is really, really good off of extended layoffs, and I don't think this is an accidental spot for him.
I'm going to be going for Rich Strike to make history just because I think it'd be so cool to win both the Derby and the Clark in the same year. We've had several horses that have won both races. The last one being in 1998 with Silver Charm. No one's ever done it.
He didn't do it in the same year. Now he won the Derby in 97, but it was, yeah. You have to go way, way back to some of those.
No, I don't think anybody's ever done it in the same season.
But it was like
back in the 1900s or
Exterminator or somebody like that.
Yeah, 1901 was the last time.
So, and then Whirl Away won this as well as the only Triple Crown winner. I think that's done both the Derby and the Clark.
Yeah. So give me real quick injunction. Your thoughts on that? Could he be the wild card horse? He ran good in the ACAC there at Churchill, and he won the Cowboy Jones, I think.
At Ellis.
Willpower, but what about injunction? Could he be a wild card there that makes
absolutely money? Because he's a get out front, stay out front type. And sometimes those horses just win those races, right? And so if no one else is pushing that pace, then he could absolutely be the horse that gets out front, stays out front, especially. I mean, so many of these horses want late action. Folsom's one of those horses. Rich Strike, one of those horses. I think if you want something that's off the board and a little strange in this race, it's Last Samurai. I think that's the horse. Like, good luck figuring that one out. That is a fast horse. Speed always plays at Churchill. If you want a 10-1 type of shot, you get Tyler at Churchill at 10-1.
Right. That's Tyler
Gaffleon.
I mean, yeah. Curious. It'd be interesting. Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We'll see you Friday, buddy.
All right, Danny.
I'll see you soon, okay?
All right, talk to you soon, bud. All right, Danny Brewer right there. And Danny's website is in the show notes here. I know I've got it down. Let's just make sure I get it out to everybody. It's Danny is horseracingscoop.com.
Yeah, horseracingscoop.com. Yep. And the Sports Brew, if you're down in Tennessee, that's right. Yep.
Sports Brew is yeah, absolutely. So Danny is the best turf rider in Tennessee because he says he's the only one. But I don't know if that's true or not. But he is
also
really,
the best
talented.
Haircut of any turf rider in Tennessee.
Absolutely. The best hair. There you go.
Sorry, Danny.
I appreciate that.
See you Friday.
Now I'm really jealous that you guys are going to be out there and I won't be out there, you know?
Oh, Danny are going to be crushing cigars, some bourbon, walking around the paddock a little too loud. Oh, it's going to be great. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm kidding, Darren. I'm kidding.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's do some handicapping for Green Sheet Racing. Again, greensheetracing.com is where you should go. Get your sheet. Find Louie's picks for the day. He'll have the most likely winner, the favorite he's against. Is Rich Strike the favorite you're against, or do you have to buy the sheet and find out?
It is not Rich Strike that I'm against. I actually think he's got an incredibly good shot in that race.
So most likely winner, favorite he's against, and then Louis puts together a sequence, which this week, Louis, what is the sequence?
Late pick 4, starting with the Mrs. Revere in race 9.
And since this is my last show of the year, Louis, can we just talk about how awesome the people at Green Sheet have been for us? And just,
sure.
I just really want to say, I mean, gratitude this week. You know, John, you're the man. I really have just more than just the support for the show, like just getting to know that dude. I mean, he's one of us, Louis. I mean, there's no right.
Whether he wants to be or not. Yeah. Right?
No, but I mean, just like if there was nothing like no partnership, this is the kind of guy we'd want to hang out with.
Oh,
this,
no, that's fair too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And his wife's awesome. And just, appreciate all them.
You know, just, and Mike cycles off this episode. Green Sheet's going to hang out with me the whole winter on this show. So we'll be doing a weekly show. A little bit different of a format, but
switch it up a little bit. Yeah. Hopefully you'll be able to talk by then and not have to cough all the time.
Yeah. I don't know. It's literally only this show.
Is it? It's not during the ESPN shows?
I wonder if it's this building. Like, maybe I just need to stop.
Like, there's some there's allergy stuff going on here?
Who knows?
All right.
But it'll be fun, and we'll be hanging out with Green Sheet all winter as well. So, yeah, for sure.
Fantastic. And it could be an interesting winter. And like I said, we'll be paying attention because I got to figure out that Eclipse Award vote for sure. So, all right.
Starting Saturday, that's the starting point of Derby Oaks rankings, that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah. So what did you make of the first future poll that came out? Anything? I mean, no big surprises.
Yeah.
There,
let me pull it up. I agree that there's no giant surprises here. To me, if anyone cares, I would bet extra on Yeho in this. If 15-1 is a little short for me in a future poll. Super impressive at Keeneland, breaking his maiden. Looks like he's shooting for, I can't remember if it's Christmas Day or the day after at Fairgrounds. And so we'll see that horse again around.
Okay.
Again. So that to me looks like the Gunrunner path to the Derby.
Okay.
And so I think that's what they're trying to do. 15-1, that's an okay number. If he develops the way that I think he can, he's a 4-1, 5-1 on Derby Day. So maybe it's worth it to tie up your money that way. But I think at 15-1 right now, that's where I would be.
And of course, we always got to see who makes it. Like, you know, we've been we've been fortunate the last couple of years. Really, the horses that we've kind of hoped that would make it have made it, and so hopefully that trend continues.
Yeah, there's no King Guillermo in this field, but you can't get that lucky every year. You just can't. And so, you know, yeah, maybe we'll get one someday, but just not this year.
The other thing too, just to remember, is that the Baffert horses are lumped in with the all other 2 year olds, and so that number is 4 to 5 right now. As he seems to have some pretty good 2 year olds.
We may have seen one in person.
We might have seen 2 in person.
Yeah, that's
one,
right.
One won and one didn't, but that's all right. And we'll see what happens with that crop as well. But I mean, yeah, if you're going to get the Baffert horses, you're in that kind of other category, and that is 4 to 5, which there's no way I would ever bet that, because it's going to be shorter than what you're going to get on Derby Day, right? So, all right, let's get into the day out at Clark Day. And again, people don't realize the Clark Handicap. It's not the Clark Handicap anymore. It's just the Clark Stakes. But the Clark Stakes is named for Lewis Meriwether Clark, who is the grandson of the Clark from the Lewis and Clark expedition. And he's named for Meriwether Lewis, who was his grandfather's partner. Not like sexually, but just like, well, I don't know. They might have gotten low.
I was going to say, dude, they were out in the wilderness for a long time. Yeah,
you don't know. All right.
Yeah. And look, it's 2022.
No judgment.
No judgment.
Not wait. I got my special. I got my special delivery of bourbon
oh!
right here.
Oh. Okay, that's not good for radio, right. Whatever.
There it is. All right. 2008 what? Old Charter something. So.
Is it?
That's a Japan export. So
it went in the barrel in 2008, or it came out of the barrel in 2008.
I think it probably came out in 2008.
Oh, it's that old. Okay, so it's right. It can almost legally drink. Got it.
Yeah. but this Clark has been around since 1875. So this is
as old as the Derby. Yeah.
Yeah, and so this is it's a big race. It's a big deal. So, but we're gonna kick the day off. Race 9 starts at pick 4. It is the Grade 2 Mrs. Revere, and. Louis, this is a mile and a 16th on the turf, so this is your big turf race that we're hoping that
it is the big turf
well.
Race for the day. Yeah,
$300,000 purse. Fillies that are three year old fillies. Who do you like in this one? Oh, there you got yours.
I like bourbon. That's what I like.
I got here. We go. We got a I like wild turkey. Wild turkey honey
Yolanda.
Bourbon. Is what we got.
There we go.
So,
thanks for hanging out, Yolanda. We appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving. This is a race. This is a simple one to me. You either go very short or you go very long. I'm going to go longer here. I think that if you wanted to take a stand with California Angel, this is a great spot to do that. I think it's a little surprising this has never happened, but she picks up Tyler here at Churchill, and I love that move. This is a trainer. This is Cowboy George, if people don't know his story. George Leonard III, based up in Indiana. He's the first black trainer to ever have a starter at the Breeders' Cup. Guess what? Which horse it was? California Angel last year.
That's right.
With the 2-year-old ranks. She's back. She's won this year. Or she hasn't won this year, excuse me. But she's been in tougher company. Grade ones. Out at Kentucky Downs, those kinds of things. If you trust her to get back to her form, this is likely where she's going to get it. Only against 3-year-old fillies here. Back in restricted company. Much better opportunity to do just that. She hasn't won this year, though. That bothers me a little bit. Sometimes that means that horses are just not in the winning groove anymore. She needs a lot to run at. She closes from very, very deep. And so my guess is Tyler's going to try to keep her not that far back. I'm a little off the board here. Louis Longshot of the day is here. Fancy Martini, the 8, picks up Louis Saez. I love that. Only thing I worry about with this horse, she appears to be in every other. This would not be the every other for winning. It would be the every other for losing. But 3 wins, 7 starts, 3 of her last 5. She's won at the made special weight, and then an allowance, and then a high-level allowance at Keeneland last time out at a mile and a 16th. Trusting that form will translate here. And so I just – again, Louis Saez at 12-1, that kind of number for me, really, really attractive. I actually have her on top. I'm going to try to use her on top because of the price. I then have California Angel in the second spot. Lovely Princess I have in the third spot. Another good price here, 8-1 for Brian Hernandez. And Kenny McPeak won last time at Keeneland over Good Go. What I like about that is if it was a little off at Keeneland, I don't know exactly if a quote-unquote firm course is going to happen on Friday, because we're going to get some rain in the morning at Churchill Downs. So it might be a little bit wet out there. If she can go over that Good Go, then that's something that I'll really trust here. And then... Sorry, 11 on the outside is Joyful Applause. And that horse does not have the speed figures of other horses in this group. Ran second here in an allowance race last time out. And again, over Good Go. What I like about that is that was her first time against winners. And so she gets to come back here, back against just three-year-olds. She was against open company there as far as fillies and mares. And so gets to come back to just three-year-olds, restricted company, 12-1, or 20-1, excuse me, on Joyful Applause. You get Edgar Morales, who is coming into his own as a rider on the circuit, and I think that that's a real serious opportunity for him. And then I went to the 2, 10-1, Rafael Bejarano and Vicky Oliver here with She's Gone. It's a three-year-old daughter of Curlin. Ran in that QE2 Cup last time out with Luis Saez. Getting back to Rafa, last time he was on this horse, she won at Kentucky Downs. Prior to that, was third by a neck at Ellis Park. So this is a horse that runs well everywhere she goes. So I'm trusting that she'll get to Churchill Downs and not hate the course. I'm going to try to beat Bubble Rock, the 4, who's 5-2. She's not the favorite in this race, but she's the favorite I'm against in the sequence. 5-2. I've never thought I would say this out loud.
Say it.
I think this is a prep for her to go to Turfway.
Oh, okay.
I never thought I'd
Turfway
say that.
Turfway prep.
But she won a stakes at Turfway last year, and I think that, or this year, excuse me, the Cincinnati Trophy. And so I think she's actually setting up to go back to Turfway to try to pick off the $150,000 turf races that they're going to, or the stakes races they're going to have there. She's her two turf wins, excuse me, are sprinting, not going a route of ground.
Okay.
So I'm going to trust that she's not a router in this kind of setup, that she's that Brad Cox is actually setting her up to be at Turfway and to be really good at Turfway. So I'm going to try to beat the 4 here, but I landed on those 5 horses, 8, 6, 7, 11, and 2.
And then there was 3 Kenny McPhee horses in this race.
Yes.
And the one you didn't mention was Sweet Lady Ivanka, who actually won at Churchill Downs last time out. And he's got Corey Lannery aboard. Could be another long shot play there with 15-1. So I agree with you on this one, Louie. I think spreading is the way to go.
Since I don't love either favorite,
right?
I think that you know, 2-1, 5-2, get away from those. Try to really start your ticket really strong with those other horses.
So with it being a little wet, and we do have the 9 horse with Frenchie aboard with Have a Good Day. I mean, do we have any idea really how this turf course is going to play at all? I mean, what's your take on what you saw last week as far
it
as
it looked like a turf course?
Fair?
Last week.
Okay.
It looked like a turf course last
week. A Kentucky turf course.
I have
not
to
a
say,
meadow.
Correct. I have to say I missed the ticket because of that race, but I wasn't mad because it actually looked like it played like a turf course.
So, you know, the Have a Good Day coming over here has raced 3 times in America, has not won yet in the States, but look at that horse as well too. All right.
That horse has only gone straight line and right-handed overseas, came over, has gone left-handed 3 times, never hit the board in the United States. That's why I left that horse out.
Yeah. Okay, the 10th race here is a 7 furlong allowance race, so we're just going to do kind of a quick pick. This is a dirt race for 3-year-olds and up, non-2 lifers, which means for people who are listening for the first time, that means they've never won 2 races. $127,000 purse. Louis, who's your pick in this allowance race for the sequence?
So, watch the also eligibles in this one in case they draw in. I think Seal Beach, the 14, sorry, and the 16 Classic Moment are both major, major factors if they can get into the race. I don't know that a 16 is going to get into this race with 12 eligible spots. If they don't, I landed on the you know what's cool is that, you know, we get these performances before the morning lines come out. I didn't get the morning lines until noon today. I landed on Call Me Fast, the 8, 3-1 favorite. It's actually Declan Cannon and Michael Pulich. It's an unlikely favorite for me, but this horse has just been so good and the numbers make so much sense that I think he can translate his form here. Has an 87 buyer at the distance at Keeneland in the highest level of maiden special weight. Comes back at 6.5 furlongs. Just runs out of time with Francisco Arrieta last time out. We'll get that full 7 furlongs here, so I like the 8 on top here. Then I landed on the 10. Milliken, who's actually 6-1. Like that, we're going to draw a line through the last race. Wasn't great. Previous to that, though, ran in a allowance race, high level at Keeneland, over 6 furlongs. Again, ran out of time, lost by a length and a half in that one at 3. In third place, was second before that at Gulfstream Park, broke his maiden at Ellis Park over 7 furlongs. So this is a horse, at least, that has won over the distance. I think the speed figures make sense, and I think that the horse will get a fair ride under Julie Leper, who has gotten considerably better over the one-turn dirt course at Churchill Downs, up to 20% on the meat so far. And so he's actually getting pretty good amounts. If you watch Ian Wilkes, if he likes a horse, he gives them to Julian. If he doesn't like a horse, he gives them to his son-in-law, Chris Landeros. And so that's a whole different dynamic that I don't have to get into. The inside horse, the one Gulfstream way for Brad Cox and Frenchie. Absolute player here. Huge number at Churchill Downs at 24% together. Working really well at Churchill. Should be ready to go. Ran pretty well last time out with Chris Landeros at Keeneland. Switches barns here, first time with trainer. Brad Cox puts those horses out at 24%, picks the spots for them really, really well. Should be a real contender here. And then the five, I landed on Dr. Perry with Tyler and Steve Asmussen. Will be here. Broke his maiden last year at Churchill, over the 6.5 furlongs. Goes seven here. I think should be absolutely part of the equation here. So, again, four horses here for me, 8, 10, 1, and 5. I think any of those can win. And then I have the 14 and 16 as my also eligibles. And I am dying here, man. Oh.
Well, yeah, I don't even know what's going on there. So Steve Asmussen, like, legally changed his middle name. Did you know that, Louis? To 0 for 2 with Jackie's Warrior at the Breeders' Cup. That's the 11th
I didn't
race.
Laugh at that, Steve. That was just Mike. I didn't laugh.
I love, man. I just listen. You know, you'll have hair as nice as mine one day, and it'll be good. So
I look forward to seeing Steve on Friday. It'll be good.
Yeah. The 11th race here is, of course, the Clark. That's $750,000, a mile and an eighth on the dirt. This is, I know, that's about as historic of a race as you get at Churchill Downs outside the Kentucky Derby. It's really the Derby, the Foster, and the Clark. Those are the three, and the Oaks, of course. This race, setting up for history again. We have Rich Strike in here. It's not been a regular occurrence where we see the Derby winner come back and run in the Clark at any point in time. And again, the last time that a Derby winner has won the Clark was 1998. And that was as a four-year-old. We had Silver Charm come in and win, who you can go see at Old Friends Farm. Still out there at Old Friends Farm.
He's crushing it. He looks great.
Just loves to take pictures. He does. Give him some carrots. He'll smile big. You know, it's an awesome trip.
We have that in common. You give me carrots, I'll smile big.
Yeah, there you go. You like carrots, huh? All right. So, Louis. It would be pretty kind of cool to see Rich Strike close out the year with that win here.
I think he gets it done, man.
Yeah.
I think he does it. I think he loves Churchill Downs. I think he's better than the rest of this field. I think that Sonny gives him the same ride he gave him in the Lucas without cheating. And so I think that he's going to show that he's one of the very best three-year-olds. And frankly, that kind of history, Mike, is really super rare.
It really is.
And it should be celebrated. I understand if people want to not like the connections or whatever else and blah, 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 that's fine. That's your business. But it ain't the horse's fault. And I think he's got a real serious shot here. I don't think that Brad Cox puts Wes Willpower in here not thinking he has a shot, and he doesn't book Louis Saez for it if he doesn't. The two of them hitting at 31% their last 52 rides.
A 102 speed figure last time out.
Yeah, in the Fayette at Keeneland. Has run the mile and an eighth here at Churchill in a 94 speed figure under a hand ride. And won that race two back in September here. I don't think that's an accident to have him here. And so I think that he'll be able to get the kind of trip that he wants because he's going to go out front. And they have figured that out about this horse. He doesn't mind being out front and staying out front. The only issue is he is going to have some company on the front. Last Samurai is going to be up there with him. If Last Samurai gets the kind of run he wants, he can also get that from Injunction. Danny mentioned him when he was on. So there are going to be horses on the front here. Does Proxy get back to trying to be a front runner here? I don't think he does. I think they're happy to sit off just a little bit with him. I'm including Proxy here. This is just a little too suspicious for them to put him into this spot and not think he has a really serious shot. And so I don't think Godolphin puts him in the spot to embarrass him or anything like that. I think they do it because they think he can win. Son of Tappet hasn't raced since July when he was in the Foster here, finished third behind Olympiad. No shame in losing to Olympiad. And so I'll look for him to be there too. So I went 4-7-1 in the Clark.
So it's interesting to me because I look at Wes Willpower, right? And so this is the fourth race since Brad Cox has been training Wes Willpower. It's the fourth different jockey aboard. Okay.
Yeah, right.
So the last two jockeys were Joel Rosario and Frenchie. Both of them won with Wes Willpower. Interestingly enough, Folsom's also a Brad Cox. Frenchie's on Folsom. Do you read into that at all? And I don't read into Joel Rosario choosing to be on Stidham's horse on Proxy at all. I mean, so of course that
it's Godolphin. That's Godolphin. You know, you go ride for Godolphin.
Right. Yeah, right. And that's coming right off of the performance in the Foster too. So hasn't raced since the Foster.
Right.
Which is a little bit of a red flag for me, but
it's the opposite for me.
Okay. West Willpower, yeah. Folsom. Talk me through that. Were you surprised that like he chose not to put Frenchie on, or is Luis Saez his number one?
I think Luis Saez just rides for the West a lot.
Okay.
The ownership group on that side. And again, they hit it 50 or last 52 rides, 31% together. So it's not like Brad Cox is choosing someone that doesn't ride well.
I agree with that. I'm just, you know, you got someone who's ridden the horse and won on the horse. That was my only point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe. Frenchie's been on Folsom a lot though.
Yeah. A whole lot.
So I think they're sticking with that relationship as much as they can.
So, all right, well, let's see.
That's a Judd mount. I mean, that's not a bad mount to have either. I mean, so, you know, it is, these relationships are what they are.
And when you look at these speed figures, you know, you've got a lot of horses that run triple-digit speed figures before, and even West Willpower has done it twice. But
right.
Rich Strike, you look at this thing. He's run triple digits four out of the last five times.
If that name was Epicenter and everything else was the same, everyone would be singling Epicenter.
I would agree.
It's purely the name, and everyone is still hung up on that 80-1 number in the Derby.
So just
people need to get over it.
I agree. And so last thing, and then we'll let the Rich Strike stuff kind of put to rest. But are we going to see a pretty monster 4-year-old season out of Rich Strike?
It's real possible. I don't like the idea of shipping him to the Arabian Peninsula, because I think that's where horses go to never run again. Country Grammar kind of bucked that a little bit this year. Howard Charlie did that a bit. But usually that is a place where horses don't come back well from. I get it, though. I would run him in the Pegasus and then try to pick off races at Churchill. That's what I'd be doing with him.
Yeah, I like it. All right, we'll see what happens with him. I mean, you know, I would expect to see him in the Foster. You know, you definitely.
100%.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to end
the pick. How cool would it be if he wins the Derby, the freaking Clark, and then wins the Foster?
That would be insane. Like, it'd be.
That's unbelievable stuff. I mean, that's really the kind of stuff we're talking about. And people need to get over
just
that 80-1.
Appreciate it, right? They just got to appreciate
it. Just watch it. Just, yeah. Great horses. Class, gold class.
Yeah. And he deserves it at this point, right? Yeah. So. Do we want to give out the 12th race, or do you want to like buy the sheet to get it?
I agree with the morning line maker. that's what I'll say. And frankly, Shady Road, it's always interesting when I cap these and then the lines come out, because for example, in the Mrs. Revere, I was way off and way different. And then in this race, I was so similar. It was painful, frankly.
Okay.
So, yeah. So check out the morning line maker. Martin Garcia got a real good chance at this one.
Get your sheet. And again, use it as one of those betting tools that you have in your holster, I guess, to kind of make sure that everything. Louie, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
Well, before we sign off.
Oh, what are you going
to
do?
You had to do the year in review thing last year, and Big Fudge was your moment. Being in the you know, doing the winner circle pickup at the Indiana Derby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was the NTWAB, was that your moment this year, or was there something
else? Oh, yeah, no question. I think the NTWAB, and the way that it kind of sounds like everything kind of went down for us, was the moment for – just because there's a certain – not that we – you know, we do this and we have other jobs and whatever else, and but we've been doing this a while. People are obviously paying attention. It gave some legitimacy, I guess, to – where our position is. I mean, we hear numbers and we kind of always joke that, you know, show's too popular, because we start to see things that we talk about on the show pop up every, you know, other places and stuff like that. But this just knows that, hey, like the serious, you know, we had some serious people first off nominate us. I mean, we had four big names nominate us for this thing.
Four people that we really respect. Yes,
absolutely. Yep. And then, and outside of that, we had people that we really don't know very well, kind of go to bat for us about, which means they're listening. And, it is such an honor to know, that we're going to be able to vote on these Eclipse Awards, and that and give a voice to our fans. I mean, I know that I'm the one who's going to get the voice to the fans. So, you know, send me if you like someone for a particular Eclipse Award, just at Big Mike Gandolfo on Twitter. Let me know who you like. Louie's not going to care.
At Horse Happy Hour. Yeah. No,
Yeah, but I'd love to hear your all's thoughts. I'd love to hear your thoughts about here's. And I'm not going to say I'm going to vote just what the fans want to go, but I definitely will take it into consideration. So.
I haven't found another sport or team as an adult, other than horse racing, and so to have it validated the way that you just talked about was pretty humbling, man.
Yeah, it really was.
That was a cool weekend. It was different. Because you look around at what Radio Row is, and it's like. it's literally like NBC, Doug Gottlieb, Mike Gandolfo. Right. I'm not picking on you, but you know what I mean.
It's, yeah, no, 100%.
It's that kind of thing now. And
but really, listen, Louis, I think the really the moment is having a basketball Hall of Famer show up to our birthday show with no shirt on.
It was way up there.
that's up there with the NTWAB. Yeah. So it's up there. By the way, I'm you know, I'll be on ESPN Radio with Louis with next week as Louis takes a couple days off and
yeah,
you know. Looking forward to it, man. Just it's awesome. I mean, this show's done that for me, and we're going to be in the middle of basketball season. We're going to be able to talk hoops. I mean, it's going to be great. You're going to actually have
you get to know
something about basketball.
You get to sit with Dan Issel and interview the UK beat writer.
Yeah,
how about that?
That would be great. It would be fantastic.
Mike won't be able to stand up for about an hour after that show.
Oh, come on now. Yeah, but it's been a great ride, and I'm looking forward to really what the NTWAB does for us for next year, Louis, just because it expands that Rolodex. I think we could have reached out to any of these people and asked them to be on the show, and they probably would have said
yes.
Most of them,
yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
But now it's like, all right, like now we're really going to be able to kind of get out there and bring a lot more people to our listeners. Like I feel like we did a good job of that this year, Louis. You've busted your ass this year just getting really great guests on the show. And listen, anything that happens on this show – is because Louis busting his ass. You all need to know that he is out there working it, and he really does an amazing job, just kind of being a great advocate for what we do. So,
I appreciate you. We're gonna have several very different, interesting guests the next couple months too. So I don't assume just because it closes up at Churchill that we're closing down the show. We're gonna have some interesting folks on, and sort of random times as well. We'll be doing, you know. Essentially, whenever people are available is when I'm going to do the interviews. And so if it releases on a Tuesday, release on a Tuesday. But
yeah, it's going to be, you won't see the live feeds that very often, right? Or will you still be going live?
Yeah. No, yeah. We'll still be doing that. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that'll be fun. Be good.
Good deal. All right. Well,
Thanksgiving, Michael.
Everyone have a great Thanksgiving. And I'll see you all probably in January. I might pop in the meantime. We'll see. Yeah. But probably not. Louis says I don't even talk to him. I don't answer his text.
It's true. On your birthday, I hand you a gift and then you close your front door in my face.
That is not.
That's
true.
How it goes.
It's not true. That's not true. All right.
Before Christmas.
All right, Tony Tim. All right. We'll see you all next time. We're going to – I got to get the music ready. Like, you, like, flat – you, like, flustered me and all that kind of stuff. All right. We're going to pay the tab. We're going to get out of here.
We miss you, Zach.
This has been the Horse Racing Happy Hour.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go after this. Why not?